Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Very excited about having one of the new members of our Brain Trust, Sulema Gourani. Here. Sulema is the founder of TradeConductor.com. It's all about world peace through trade, something I've been talking about for a long time, especially if we can get small businesses to trade. If we can find a way to get small businesses to do more trade with each other around the world, we could end wars, my friends. We could end wars. We could end poverty. We could create more of the world looking like look like Main Street. That's what we need to do, I think. And Sulema has been working on that herself. I'm so proud of her for that. And she's here to talk to us about the future of work. Sulema, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you so much. My favorite show. I'm very honored to be with you.
Thank you, Sulema. Yeah, I'm so happy to know what you're doing, because I believe, Sulema, that what's good for small business is good for the world. Mm-hmm. And if small businesses could, if Main Street businesses could ever get organized, we could rule the world and the world would be better off. What do you think?
You know, you are spot on. Unfortunately, a lot of small businesses, moms and pop shops, they don't understand the amount of power that they have.
That's right.
We tend to only read about the big corporate public listed companies, and we talk about them a lot. If you read in the news, if you watch TV, anything is all about the big companies, but really, U.S. is full. The world is primarily driven by small, medium-sized companies owned by, you know, the owner, family-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
It is the primarily way of making a living, is having your own little business.
That's right.
Is the way most people work in the world, but we don't talk about it.
That's exactly right.
I don't know about you, but when I grew up, to start your own little business, and let me just use the term little, small business where you just make enough to, you know, make a living and you have your freedom and maybe you work with your spouse.
The research shows, I actually reported on it earlier this week, research shows that in mostly in other parts of the world, what you just described is the prime motivator for being a business owner.
Yeah, I mean, myself included. Honestly speaking, I was employed in very big public listed companies. HP, wonderful company, nothing wrong to say about that. Maersk, also a family business, the biggest shipping company in the world. But you know what? In 2007, I decided to start my own business. And it is still a small business in terms of if you look at the size of employees.
Right, right.
But you know, Tim, this is a very nice time. Because I have teams all over the world. We work remote. I don't talk to them every day, but they know what to do. They have their freedom, too. They just do their job every day, every month, every year. And in that sense, we work together, but we have our individual freedom. But you know what, Jim? The good thing is, and I also want to leave that behind and make sure that people really understand that you don't have to have a lot of employees today, nowadays, to have a great amount of impact and a high amount of revenue.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, a lot of the old standard, in fact, the SBA's standard for business size is based on number of employees. And today people are doing twice as much, four times maybe as much business per employee than they were when those numbers were established. I mean, now a small business is not a small business if they have over 500 employees. But by the time a small business today gets to 500 employees, you know, they're already listed on the stock market probably.
Yeah. But, you know, you can take a lot of tech companies. They make a lot of money but have almost no employees. If you take the chat function, I don't know how to, you know, WhatsApp or something, they were sold for a ridiculous amount of money, millions and millions of dollars, and there were 40 employees. So it's kind of interesting to see how you can make a lot of money. If money should never be the end goal, but it's just like the old way we measure success has to be rewritten, really. And also, if you ask McKinsey, by 2030, 800 million jobs will be taken over by robots or replaced.
Mm-hmm. And yet, Sulema, and yet every time we gain new technology, we need more employees. It's interesting how, think about that. I mean, who would have thought 20 years ago, if you told them how much artificial intelligence we've had and how much more technology we'd have, nobody would have bet that we're out of workers. Hold on to that thought. We're going to talk about this, folks, more after the break. The impact of artificial intelligence on work and on the education to become an employee. Stay with us, 22.
Tell me a secret, tell me a lie, tell me the truth if you have to. Say what you see fit, but don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.